Okay, so in today's wonderful call, we are going to be talking about two very important topics. Firstly, we're going to talk about the journey, the wonderful journey, the hero's journey, as you go from where you are right now, whatever that is, the things you don't like about your life, and you move from where you are now into this fabulous dream life, whatever it is. And by the way, and we'll talk more about this, when you get there, there's going to be another bunch of dream things that you have. So we're always in some sort of journey, and we're going to talk about how do you manage yourself and your energy and your attitude along the way. Because if you can't be happy today and tomorrow and the next day and you're waiting around for something, chances are it's going to be a very unpleasant life. So we need to learn how to manage the journey. So Michelle's going to share lots of wonderful insights about how to manage the journey. And then secondly, another big juicy topic is money. How do we have a healthy relationship with money, finances, so that we have the means to experience the life we love and have a genuinely beneficial relationship with cash money daily, because a lot of people are having money issues, don't understand what money is, and are not feeling solvent. So we're going to talk about these two very important topics, which is going to make your life remarkably better. So I'm very excited. Thank you, Michelle, for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's talk about the journey through life, because right now everyone listening is at a particular place, and there's no doubt things that you don't like about your life, and you want to go somewhere else. You want to manifest things you haven't got, and you want to get somewhere else. So Michelle, from your personal experience, having gone through the journey many times, what would you like to share to help people understand the journey better and manage the journey better?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, what I've learned through my life, and we all are going through our own challenges in own ways. But I've really been through some crazy challenges in my life, and what I've come to realize is that there is no destination. You'll never arrive. And so it's really about enjoying each step along the way, as one of my mentors, Wayne Dyer, always talked about. And so what I've learned is that, in my life, and I don't know if this was society's conditioning or from parents or the school. I mean, there's so many other factors that come into play. But what I've learned is that, what we've been taught to think life is isn't really what life is. So I grew up in the 80s, and there were, all these movies about like what you should do when you're a teenager, and then, you go and you get this job, and then you get married, and you have kids, and like everything was already planned out and, scripted of how it should be. And then when I started to look at my life, I'm like, okay, well, that is like nowhere near that. Like, what's going on, and why am I not happy, and blah, blah, blah. And so what I really realized is that a lot of that stuff is not reality. Like that stuff is made up by people, and it makes you want to continually strive and reach for something that you'll never actually obtain. And if you do obtain it from that mindset, it's usually ego driven in a sense that it's not good for you. And once you do get it, it's usually a nightmare. Your rooster agrees. So you're like, oh my God, I wanted this thing and now I got it and now my life is crazy. So what I realized on this path is that by bringing our presence and our awareness to this moment now and finding happiness and joy in the small things and really shifting our attitude, then that's going to pave the road for all these amazing, magical synchronicities to come into your life. So just to recap that, what I'm saying here is that you don't want to be telling yourself, when I get this job, I'll be happy, or when I sign off that client, I'll do this, or when I whatever. It's right here, right now. And there are some things that take time to come into fruition, but what are the baby steps? How can you chunk it down today by taking action on those things that will lead to that? And then once you do reach that destination of what it is that you desire, to be happy, to celebrate it, but realize that there's going to be more for you. Because it's like Abraham Hicks, you know, they always talk about, we're here to co-create, we're here to expand, right? So once you reach one thing, you want to expand and go on to another. Like with myself and my journey, when I found myself back in the Philadelphia area, which is where I'm originally from, I no longer wanted to live there. The environment wasn't right for me. The energy there, the whole pace of life, it was just time for a change. So I took the leap, moved to Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii for about 4 years now, and this is my home. And at the same time, I still have other aspirations. So now I want to do bigger things and do some worldly traveling this year. And, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning of the call, the projects that I'm now working on that I could have never fathomed, you know, 5 years ago. So it's like once you reach that point, then realize you begin all over again. So it's a constant cycle of starting and finishing, starting and finishing. But to think that you're going to reach some place and it's all going to be like, oh, you know, Shangri-La and all, that's something that's almost been sold to you for you to believe that to chase after this carrot. So wherever you're at and whatever you're doing, if you're not enjoying it, my advice to you would be to find the joy and find the fun in those little things and to appreciate each moment, and that will lead to the bigger things. And then you just continue in the cycle.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And just to kind of underscore what Michelle was saying, I was talking to a client this morning about her life situation. I talk to people all the time about their life situation, and I come across the same thing that Michelle was just talking about, that someone wants something else they haven't got. And they're like, I want this thing, I want this thing, I want this thing. And only then my life's going to be great, and at the moment I'm in a total mess. And this person was saying that she felt like she was on a bridge from her kind of painful life through to her dream life. And she's on this bridge and she's focusing all her energy on trying to get across the bridge so she can be on the other side. But her current life was absolutely horrible. And she's been giving so much energy to being on the bridge, and that she'd abandoned all her practices that she liked, that made her happy now. So she was postponing doing things to feel good today, hopefully to get something in the future. And of course, how can we create anything good if we're miserable every day? So this is very, very common, you know. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're just, I hate your life and just focusing on the future, or completely on the future, that can be a very dangerous place to be, because we have to do everything we can to do whatever we need to do now to get there. So, and that's going to start by feeling good now. So, Michelle, I have a question for you about this feeling good in the moment, the little things. What are the little things that you have found personally have been bringing you joy when you haven't had everything you wanted?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I'm a big believer, and I talk to my clients about this too, is that your self-care practice is your foundation for everything. And I'll talk to a lot of people that have very busy, hectic lives. They own businesses, they have kids and such, and they're like, oh, I don't have time for this. And really, when you say that, that's going to continue you in creating more of the things that you don't want. It kind of sounds counterintuitive, like, oh, if I take care of myself, you know, I'm not going to be able to do all these other things, but actually it'll allow you to take care of others. It's like the airplane metaphor, you know, when the oxygen mask drops, you take care of yourself first and then you can help others. So, and it's not selfish, it's actually self-love, and it teaches other people to love themselves too. And the more you love yourself, the more life loves you. So if you're in a place where you're not enjoying the things that you're doing, some of the little things you can do to start to shift your energy around that and raise your vibration, which will attract more of the things that you desire, is to get that self-care protocol on point and make it non-compromisable. So you need to find the things that really work for you. The first thing is diet. Everybody has a different diet. And I was a hardcore raw foodist for about 5.5 years. I had a raw food business. I made meals for people and all. And I went through my own raw food journey with that and really did a lot of deep cleansing and healing from it. But now I eat a more balanced diet. And I don't want to get into diets because I don't want to talk all about diets and all. But nutrition is really a great way to kind of circumvent a lot of the stuff that you've held on to and accumulated throughout your life. And so you need to find what works for you and intuitively tune into your eating habits. And just those little things like that can bring you more clarity of mind, can bring you more energy to be productive, to actually focus on the things that you love when you're done doing the things that you don't really love so much. Another thing that I think is highly important is movement. You know, our bodies are meant to move. And nowadays, a lot of people are working office jobs and they're sitting still for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And your energy is meant to move. When you don't move it, it becomes stagnant. So find some sort of movement that you enjoy. Whatever works for you. Yoga, soccer, hiking, running. And do that first thing in the morning to get your energy going. Sometimes I like to have a dance party. I'll put on some really good house music, really high vibe, positive affirmations within the music, and dance to that and start my day on that. So you want to be starting your day with these kind of things. Good diet, good exercise, and then some meditation mindset. So what that means is you don't necessarily need to be sitting cross-legged and oming and being concerned if you're, you know, holding your breath in for the correct amount of time. You know, that stuff is actually what keeps people from reaping the benefits. It's really about your intention. So when you take an hour, sometimes if you have 2 hours, but at least an hour to yourself to start the day, then that's going to predict how the rest of the day goes for you. So if you're at a job that you don't like and someone says something, you're in your body. So you're not taking on their stuff and you don't give that back to them. You can gift it up to the universe to sort out. So it's really about the self-care protocol, diet, exercise, mindset, doing that first thing in the day, and also having a ritual in the evening of how you unwind, making sure you don't have all these electronics on, you know, and making sure that you're really creating a loving, warm space for yourself, like a temple for you to drift off and work on your dreams and your aspirations. So the self-care thing is really what's going to bring you more magic and more joy in your life, no matter what you're doing. And lastly, having fun, finding fun in the little things, not taking the world so seriously and, you know, poking fun at yourself and being a little silly. Of course, there's always a time to work, but there's also a time to play. And if you can implement those few little things, it'll really make a big difference in your life, and you'll start to see things move in a better direction for you.
Absolutely. And I just want to underscore the importance of this, because if something very interesting I found over the years working with people is that most people know some of this stuff we're talking about. Maybe some of these things are new to you. Some of this stuff you've probably heard before, right? But guess what? Hardly anyone actually does any of it. Yeah. So if you actually take what we're telling you and you go ahead and actually do it, you'll feel remarkably better very, very, very quickly. You know, like it's a day and night, it's like living a different life. So now this might sound obvious, you know, yeah, well, I mean, I know I need to eat better. It's like, yeah, but just actually eat better, actually move. You know, one of the things I like to do is go on hiking up mountains. I find it very inspiring walking up a big old mountain and then sitting at the top looking down all over these awesome views and meditating for a bit, because obviously I'm a bit tired by the time I got to the top. It's nice to have a break, meditation. It's not that hard. I'm talking about, you know, but just, you don't, I mean, I just walking down the road is good enough sometimes. Doing these things we're talking about, actually, you actually do it, then you get the result. And Michelle is somebody who has, you know, practiced stuff, you see. So the difference between Michelle and a lot of other people is she does the stuff. Do you know what I mean? So she can see the massive difference. So take this on from the heart, and you'll witness the magic happen.
Yeah, and I also, if I may just add a little something to that to make it more applicable to people's everyday lives, because it's one thing to say, you know, eat better, exercise, yes, we all know that, but why aren't we doing it, right? So you need to ask yourself the right questions. What are you really getting out of, you know, if you're eating, you know, certain foods that aren't good for you and they're making you feel sluggish? What are you getting out of it? What are you avoiding? You know, what are you getting out of not exercising? It's really helpful to start to ask yourself these questions of what you're getting out of it. Are you punishing yourself? Are you afraid of success? What is that thing? And then what you can do, and I tell, you know, people this all the time, is sometimes you have to trick your mind. So if you want to eat healthier, don't say, I'm going to change my entire diet. Just say, you know, for breakfast, I'm going to eat this instead. And then go about your normal day and eat what you would normally eat. And then, like, the next day, you know, add a little bit more. Same with your exercise routine. You know, I was in shape, but then I got out of shape for a while when I was going through some personal issues back in Philadelphia before I moved to Hawaii. So when I got to Hawaii, even though I'd practiced martial arts for 5 years, I couldn't even run 10 or 11 minutes without getting winded. So I started just timing myself. Okay, I'm going to run 10 minutes today. I'm going to run to this song and I'm not going to stop. And now, you know, 3.5 years later, I'm running like crazy trails that are like on the top 9 of the Sierra Club of difficulty because I've been practicing. That's what my capoeira teacher, my martial arts teacher, told me, is you have to train, 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 practice, practice, practice every day. And that's the key. So if you want an amazing life, you want to listen to people that are getting the results that you want and what are they doing and stay connected to them. And it takes a little bit of courage to go against the grain of what your colleagues and your friends are doing, because this happened to me. You know, I got poked fun at for my eating habits or my exercise or this or that. You really need to be strong within yourself and not let that kind of sway you off of what your inner guidance is telling you to do. And if you can just start off with those little baby steps, 10 minutes or one new meal a day, eventually you'll start to feel so much better that you'll naturally do more of that until eventually you'll be very strong within yourself. And those comments and remarks from people, they won't even come up because they won't even sense that from you. Your overall confidence in everything will upgrade to a new level, and you'll start to see your new life taking shape right before your eyes.
Absolutely. And it's, I like what you just said there, taking shape, your new life, because how does your new life appear? A lot of people think that when they get over the bridge and they arrive on the other side, finally they'll somehow get this new life. But just like exercise shapes the body and creates a new body, I mean, literally the body changes. In the same way, when we do specific practices every day, we're shaping our new life through our daily practices. It starts now. So really, if what you want to take from this is get out of the idea that somehow there's this future magic, big fluffy cloud with angels playing the harp and peeled grapes and whatever else, and start realizing that today is the best day ever. You know, that's why we use the word best day ever, because if we can't make today the best day ever, then when are we ever going to have the best day ever? And I just want to add one thing just to kind of reinforce what Michelle was saying there. You know, that's a great point Michelle just made about what are you getting out of it, not doing the things that you know you need to do. And another way of saying that is, and I come across this a lot with working with entrepreneurs, is that a lot of entrepreneurs, myself included, like the work. Like, I like working. I like doing these calls. I like writing books. You know, I enjoy it. So sometimes when you're obsessed with your work, getting out of the house and like going on mad missions can seem like a conflict of interest. So I don't know if you're that kind of person who feels that way. So another way of doing what Michelle just said was think of your going out to get in nature and have fun and do this stuff as a means to do better work. So rather than, because I've talked to lots of people and they're like, they never leave the house because they're And I said, why don't you spend more time walking around? And I'm like, well, I can't because I'm too busy. And it's like, well, you're not too busy. You like working. So when you realize, you know, you love your work, then just realize that going on a break is part of your work. So everything's connected. So rather than thinking there's these separate parts of your life, they're all part of the same thing. It's all about having an awesome life. And Michelle's very good at getting out and running around and having fun. So she's a great teacher for that, yeah? I'm sure you help a lot of people, Michelle, just get their asses out of the house and into nature.
Yes, I do. And in the near future, I'll be offering, you know, retreats and such to do that. But for my local clients, sometimes we include that as part of our session, is we'll go out in nature, because out in nature, you can learn many things about life, such as bringing intention and presence to each step. Because, you know, if you're jumping on rocks through a stream and you're thinking about what your partner said to you earlier or what your boss or a client said, you're not present. And that's when you can slip and fall. And it's kind of like life. You know, we always want to bring our presence and awareness to each moment. So there's like little gems like that that you can learn being out in nature. So definitely don't overlook the power of getting out there, because that's really, you know, where we're all coming from, is this natural environment. But many of us are living in an unnatural environment, so we're not used to being, you know, in that kind of world. We're not used to it.
Yeah, that's right. And nature also teaches you that if you don't pay attention, if you get off too far off the path, you can get seriously lost and get in very, very dangerous places. I find that a fascinating lesson. you know, we have to be pioneers, like we were talking about, and trailblazers to some degree, but also there are some things that are just easier done a particular way. So, anyway, when you go into nature, you'll find your own lessons, whatever they are. So, the journey is a never-ending thing. When you arrive at your destination, guess what will happen? You'll want something else almost instantly. Many, many people get what they want, and they feel deadly depressed, horribly, horribly depressed when they've achieved all their dreams. So be warned, having your dreams achieved is very dangerous. Unless you realize that life is the destination, which is what we're talking about. And you'll also find that some of the richest people in the world, they themselves say what makes their life great is the little things that Michelle's just been talking about. So no matter what level of, you know, experience you're having, it's always the little things that make life rich. So, talking about riches, let's talk about cash money, baby. Money is a big topic. Michelle has got some wonderful stories in this area. Would you like to share a little bit about your story, Michelle, with money?
Absolutely. Would you like me to start anywhere in particular?
Well, I'll just preface this with a lot of people these days living in these unstable, strange world that we live in nowadays, having money challenges, and a lot of those money challenges come from past money stories, inherited ideas about money that we picked up from our parents, our culture, and you know, there's a lot of clearing, a lot of changes, a lot of new perception necessary for us to break out of that and actually create the wealth on every level, not just financially, but just general wealth in our lives. And Michelle is someone who has gone through a process, and I think she's got some great things to share. So just start wherever you like, Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, so I came from a family history of struggle, sense of lack, poverty consciousness. And it stemmed for generations. You know, my family came from overseas to America to start a new life. And my grandmother worked many jobs, like in factories, that were less than ideal conditions to create a better life for her children, my mother, and then my mother had me. And so it's kind of like I reached this point in my life maybe about, I don't know, 10 years ago or something, and I actually remember the moment. I just feel called to share this story. I was working at a restaurant. I don't know if it was 10 years ago, but I don't want to get caught up in dates. But I was working at a restaurant, and I really felt like a slave at this place. And the customers were really rude to me, and I had a table of like 20, and 16 of the people wanted me to split the bill individually. And I was managing all these other tables. It was busy. It was hectic. And I just had this moment where I just like wanted to cry just out of like desperation and hopelessness. Like, what is going on with my life and why am I doing this? And I realized I was only doing that job for the money and there was no other reason. And, you know, I gave them my notice later that day and I said that I wouldn't be coming back. And I stepped outside of the establishment and I was waiting for the bus to come because I was living in the city at the time. And, I started crying, just crying, sobbing. And, I declared to the universe that I would never struggle with money and that I'd break the cycle in my family lineage. So, you know, there's a lot of like intensity, behind that, you know, brought me up to where I'm at with the whole money story. And so I just dove in and started absorbing all I could about money, what it is, and read, you know, a number of books and have taken courses and worked with people. And, over the summer, especially I took an online course with a teacher by the name of Jody England. Might want to check her work out. She really infuses the soul and is making good money being supported by her work in the world. And that course really kind of gave me one of the last missing pieces of the puzzle of what money is. And so unfortunately, what's been happening is that a lot of gifted healers, teachers, visionaries, you know, people like you that are on the training have had this like skewed view of what money is. And I'm not saying that this is your view. I'm just kind of generalizing that for the most part, that's what I have observed speaking with the superheroes over these years, you know, my own story and just people in everyday life, is that their work isn't really getting out there because they are upset with the system or they're focusing on details that don't really matter. And so what I'll just share with you is it takes a really long time for a system to break down, to dismantle. And so perhaps, you know, unless you feel really called that that's your mission, perhaps instead of focusing your energy on not liking the system and what's wrong with it and not even participating, because if you're not participating or playing, how can you receive anything in exchange? You know, it's like an energetic exchange. You know, if I get a massage, I pay that person some money, and that's my way of saying thank you for your energy and healing, and now you can do whatever you want with it to bring, you know, more joy into your life. Whereas, you know, hundreds of years ago, we might have been trading like cacao beans or whatever the currency was at that moment. So money is really neutral, and if we can find a way to get past that idea that it's something bad or evil and see that it's just a tool and not give it so much power over us and use it as a vehicle to really get out there, we can play our own game within the game, which means that we don't need to compromise our values. We don't need to sell out. We can be 100% authentic, real, be on purpose and in our power and still make a difference in the lives of those we interact with on a daily basis. So where I'm at today with my money story is I feel like I've done a lot of healing with it. And at the same time, what I've learned is that once you unveil those layers, then there's more, and then there's more. So it's a continual process, and it relates back to what we were talking about, the destination and the journey. You're not ever going to reach some place where you're like, okay, I've got this whole money thing figured out. You know, my mentor and teacher of that course, she's making, and she says this openly, you know, she's making six figures in her business, and even then she still has her money issues. She's still worrying about certain things. So it's not like we're going to reach, you know, this mark of making the money that we want and we're going to feel at peace and that everything's going to be okay. There's always going to be these kind of concerns and all. But when we apply our practices and tools, then we don't give that thing so much power we give it to ourselves and we learn how to really be at peace with what's coming our way, and knowing that everything's going to be okay when we get out of this like ego attachment of how we think it should be, and we start to appreciate and accept how it is, then we can create more of the things that we really desire that are in alignment with who we are, rather than chasing after things that we think we should want or that the culture tells us that we should get to make us happy. So basically what I'm saying is money is just a tool and a vehicle for you to reach your work. You know, even Mother Teresa had tons of backers behind her to get her work out there into the world. So the current system that we're in, we need money in order to do that. I mean, of course, you can do trade and things like that. People do that. But if you really want to make a big impact and really get yourself out there, you're going to have to participate and exchange with life. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's great. And just to remember that money isn't evil. You know, one of the things, like Michelle was mentioning earlier, that people fighting with the system, you know, saying money's bad, we should banish money, you know, it's a corrupt system and all the rest of it. And yes, there are hidden fees, and yes, there is weird stuff going on, and yes, there's a power elite who have. I read recently that the top 62 people, wealthiest people, has the same amount of wealth as half the world's population, or which is roughly 3.8 billion people, roughly. That's a pretty shocking number. I was quite surprised. 62 mm-hmm. people versus half the world's population. So clearly there's a bit of a sort of difference there. And the people at the top obviously got different money story going on than the rest of the people. So there's, you know, it's an odd system, really. But we've got to start appreciating wealth and money and not wasting it and feeling bad about it. Because anything that you waste or feel bad about, of course, it's not going to hang around for very long. So,
yeah, and,
this is a big topic. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I think. I just wanted to say, you know, I have really, like, worked my way up from the bottom and have experienced some real financial hardships and challenges in my life over the years, you know, where I've just had pennies and such. And in fact, it was about 5 years ago when Michael had his I Am Wealth program. This was before I started working for them at the time. I only had $20 to my name, and he was selling the I Am Wealth course for $7. And I was hemming and hawing, should I do this? Should I not do it? You know, that's how awful my financial situation was, where now I'd not even blink an eye at it. But that's how much kind of fear and lack that I was entwined in. And because of that, you know, rebellious nature and resisting and not wanting to participate in this system at all, I suffered. And so it caused me a lot of challenges. But when I got over that and I realized, like, you don't have to sell out. You can be who you are. You can still be unique. You can share your gifts, and you get rewarded for that. The more you become yourself, the more you get rewarded for that. So it's not like following along with what the masses are doing. It's really about becoming the hero, the superhero of your life, and claiming your power back and becoming more of you and getting on with sharing your gifts. And then that's when you get supported. So it's just like a little powerful choice that you make to participate and exchange with life. And when you do that, you know, that's when life becomes much more easy. Because if you're struggling, you know, you're doing something wrong. Life should not be that hard. And I've learned from that. So my mantra that I got from another mentor is, let it be easy. Just let it be easy. Find the path of least resistance. And that doesn't mean that you don't do the hard things. It means that, you know, you do the work that you need to do, but you're not struggling so hard and burning yourself out. If you're doing that, then that's an indicator that you're out of alignment. So signs to know that you're in alignment is that the right people, and the right situations are showing up to support you. It may not always be what you thought it would be, but when you can get over that, like, ego, oh, I need to be making this to get that, and really accept the help and the support, then more of it will come in. It's really your openness. I've said this several times, to participate and exchange with life, that's going to make it a lot more easier for you. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. So the question is for you listening, are you willing to participate and exchange with life? Or are you opting out? Because, I mean, you can't really opt out, but you can sort of not be on the program. And I want to underscore something very important that Michelle said that you might not have noticed, which is the right people will be attracted to you, which will make it easy. And I've come to realize over the years that the biggest and most important thing in life and in business is the word who, W-H-O. Who is it you're connecting with, and who are you helping? And the reason this is so important is because you could be doing exactly the same thing, but with different types of people, and get completely different response and completely different results, even though what you're doing is the same. The only difference is the people. So if you work with the right people, and you provide your gifts and talents and skills to the right people who really love what you do and appreciate you, you will be blessed really beautifully back, and your needs will be met, and you'll be all right. Everything's going to be great, lots of abundance. But on the other hand, if you are trying to, like it says in the Bible, give your pearls to dogs and pigs, then they will trample them into the earth, into the dirt. Yeah, it says it in the Bible. Don't share your pearls with people who don't appreciate them, because they won't do it. They'll just smash it all up and give you a hard time. So I would say one of the easiest, most effective ways, because Michelle's just talking about ease and grace, ease is who are you connected with and who are you working with? Because that really makes a massive, 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 massive difference. Haven't you found that, Michelle? I'm sure you've got stories about this, working with different kinds of people, doing the same thing, yeah, and different response.
Oh, yes, yes. I learned in my own life, and now, you know, I guide others to make those necessary changes that are sometimes really hard, because we may be connected to these people for many years. They might be good friends. They might be family members. And it's not saying that you can't associate with them. It's just saying that you have a loving boundary to not accept their stories of lack and limitation and disbelief. And you can still spend your time with them, but just limit the amount, and also filter what they're sharing with you as to what you believe to be true. And, you know, for me personally, when I started to shift my associations about maybe like six years ago or so, my life, it was like night and day, because I started to hang out with people that were playing a little bit of a bigger game. So it's not about getting a handout, it's getting a hand up, which I think I got that one from you, Michael. And just surrounding yourself with people that are going to push you to be better. And that is really what's going to be the difference, is surrounding yourself with the right people. Cannot stress that enough. You know, the 5 to 12 people that you hang out with most is who you're going to become. So make sure you are very discerning about who you are spending your time with. Look at your life right now. Who are those people? Are they going upwards? Are they expanding? Are they doing things? Or are they complaining and draining, gossiping, all of those kind of like lower-minded ideals? So really evaluate that. And if they're not on par with where you want to go, then it's going to take, you know, some inner courage to make those changes necessary. But as soon as you change your associations, oh, it becomes so easy. The right people, situations, everything. So, yes, it really does matter who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, and you've got to be willing to say no, basically, to lots of stuff. because life, I've noticed this, life is packed to the top with bad stuff that's bad for us, draining, damaging, unhealthy things. You know, you just go into any, pretty much any shop, and it's full of terrible stuff. Go into any supermarket, nearly all of it nasty, toxic food. I mean, I don't want to freak people out like there's nothing to eat, but the world is overall, nature's of course just natural, but like man-made things, often human relationships, conversations, music, food, blah, you know, just the list goes on and on and on. It sucks you down, yeah? So it's very hard to stay in a good, happy space if you're surrounded with that stuff day in, day out, all the time, and people who are super negative. So do yourself a favor and surround yourself with high-vibe people, high-vibe things. And, of course, you know, if you're listening to this, you're in superhero training, and superhero training is full of all that sort of stuff, all practices and things. So you're in good hands. But take this advice on very, very kind of closely. Be willing to say no to stuff that's not right. And that comes back to something Michelle and I were talking about earlier, about, you know, working with different people in your business, in your work, and being willing to say no to non-aligned work, even if it has financial negative consequences in the short term. Do you want to talk about that, Michelle, in your vision quest? Because I think that's a great example.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think this is a perfect time to share that. So last year was a really intense year for me in the sense of the work I was doing in the world. And as I mentioned, I've been working in the feminine entrepreneurial world for several years now and, you know, really worked my way up from the bottom and was getting paid really good money, not having to work too hard for it. And I reached a point where I realized that some of the people that I was working with, the way that they wanted to operate their life wasn't aligned with mine. And even if they were paying me a lot of money, it wasn't in alignment with what mattered to me. You know, like lifestyle choices, meditation practices, healthy eating, not always being on a time schedule with creating fictitious deadlines because you want to get something done, like just this whole other kind of matrix world. And I guess to give you a little bit more of a concrete example, people that want to enroll in programs and all, like really helping and coaching them to help them take the next steps to be able to do that so that they are empowered rather than just, you know, cutting them loose and disregarding them, you know, because it's all about the money in a sense. And so some of the other work too was very mental and working in the virtual reality online. If you spend too much time there, what I noticed within myself is I started to kind of move out of my heart space a little bit. And you get too much up into the mind and thinking and strategizing and analyzing. And so I felt something was energetically off. I wasn't waking up with that joy in the morning, like, yeah, I want to start my day. I can't wait to go serve. I was kind of like, okay, you know, I'll go get my like fancy breakfast because I can afford it and I'll go do this. But it wasn't really working for me. So over the summer, I felt called to go on a vision quest, which at the time I didn't even know it. I just was listening to my inner guidance. And basically I hiked about like 11 or 12 miles on the 4th of July by myself. I felt called to do it while my other friends decided to celebrate the holidays in a different way, you know, party environment and all, which, you know, it's totally fine. But I wanted to do something more in solitude and really go within and find out what was going on. So I did this whole hike and I tested myself and I was out there for a few days. And when I came back and returned, I realized, oh yeah, by the way, I ran into you, Michael, you and Ariel at the store. That was like a synchronistic encounter
was awesome.
That
yeah.
We all had. Yeah. And
very,
then
very
we
unusual,
ran into one another.
I think I hadn't been down there for like a year, literally, and we just happened to meet at the health food store. So that's just classic superhero stuff there.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a part of the island that you normally wouldn't frequent. and they have a health food store there. So it was very synchronistic. It was like I was walking out, they were walking in, bam, was meant to be. And I shared a little bit about my journey, and I shared some pictures and everything. And what I got from that vision quest, I actually went out a couple more times after, but with different intentions to that very precious, magical, pristine valley that I went to, is I realized that this work wasn't in alignment with me, and it wasn't bringing me joy, and I needed to make a major change. And so it was kind of like when I moved from the Philadelphia area to Hawaii, I had to let everything go. So when I made that big leap to go into this next chapter and to create a new life for myself, I had to surrender and be non-attached to things. So I came over here with two suitcases from the East Coast to Hawaii, and it was less than $300 at the time to start a new life. And so it was very risky in the sense with the clientele that I had built up at that point. I decided to let 80 to 90% of it go and just trusted that something better would come along. And so that's what I did over the fall time of last year, is I let most of the work go because it was not in alignment with where I was going. And some of the marketing techniques, they were for folks that weren't fully awakened yet. And so I didn't like that that style. It was slightly manipulative to me, and so it fell off. So I just let it go. And because of the work that I'd done and the connections, I had more work come in, and everything has worked out, and it's like on par. And it's amazing, as I've shared the projects and all that I'm working on. But I had to be willing to let go and open and surrender to other possibilities. But my ego was like, I don't know. And that created a little bit more of a struggle. But as soon as I let it be easy, that mantra, just let it be easy, kept my practices going, healthy eating, exercising, mindset, good people, I was able to waver through it. So that's why it's really essential to have those self-care practices, because then you can weather the storm and you can stay on track and get more into alignment with what you desire. So I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of feel like I might have digressed there for some reason. So please tell me if I didn't.
No, that's great. It's just, basically what Michelle, just to recap, said there is she's willing to say no to just stuff that doesn't feel right, don't feel strong, it's not true, because there's plenty of scammy ways to make money in the world. And in fact, most of the things, or a lot of the things people are doing, is scammy stuff. Like I found out recently that high-end tennis matches, including Wimbledon, are rigged. They lose the game. They lose on purpose. And the people in Italy and in Sicily, the various mafia and whatnot, and in Russia and other countries, know about this, and they're making tons of money off it. That's just one example. We could have a list of 50 billion things, probably, of scammy ways of making money. But if you're willing to say no to dodgy business, and you're also willing to work with the right people instead of the shady nonsense, shenanigans, then you're going to be better off, much, 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 much better off in the long run. And these companies that just like, you haven't given me all your money, that's it, I'm never going to talk to you again, and you're off my mailing list, and that's not really compassionate work. So what you can take from this going forward for everyone listening is if you set up your own company, or if you already have one, make sure you're doing it from the heart. Make sure you actually care about the people who you're working with, your customers and clients. Actually care about them, care about everyone you work with, your team and other people, actually care. And make sure that these are the kind of people you actually like, because it's very, 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 very hard for you to go the extra mile for people you don't like. Yeah, but people who you do like, you can easily go the extra mile because you care about them. You know, like I often, you know, add a little extra time to my coaching sessions and stuff like that, even though I'm super busy, because I care about the people. And if I need to talk to them a bit longer, then I will. You know, we are always adding stuff to superhero training that, you know, we like doing it. We do it from the heart. But there's a lot of people who it's just like money, 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 money. And then after a while, they end up depressed. Or they get busted for something, or everyone hates them, you know, they get bad reputation. So Michelle is a great example of someone who was willing to pull the plug if it wasn't right. And that's very honorable, especially if you lose money by doing it. So what a great story, Michelle. Congratulations for being so hardcore.
Thank you. It's easier to say no than to go along and reap the repercussions later.
Yeah, even if it's not obvious at the time. But, yeah, and also going to Kollel is a very, very hard hike, that hike. And how long, Michelle, I think just, Michelle, let's just share your wonderful record. I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I remember kind of walking back from Kollel and I timed myself, and I went during Kollel, if anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's like a beautiful valley in Kauai, very kind of northwest valley that you can only get to from either, you know, helicopter or boat or hiking. Is it 11 miles?
Yeah, they say it's 11, but it's about 12 or so, a little bit more.
Yeah, so that, yeah, there might be a bit on either side, but it's about 12 miles, and it's up and down, up and down, up and down, and through these valleys. You're looking over the ocean most of the time. It's an extremely beautiful hike, but it's very, very tough going, and there's certain parts of it where it's extremely dangerous. I remember thinking that you're literally what was I thinking? You're literally like 2 or 3 feet away from death about 80% of the mm-hmm. time you're walking on it, which
yep.
is quite a funny situation to be in. A lot of people die walking on it because they fall off or they slide down something or something like that happens. There's a lot of deaths on that trail. So it's definitely not something for the faint-hearted. When I did it, I walked back in, slept the night. I did it in two goes. I slept the night, looked over the view, woke up and walked out. I was very casual. It must have taken me about 12 hours or something. And I was like at a very sort of mellow pace with like one tiny little bag. And I left my stuff out there. So that was my experience through the leisurely little thing with this one bag that didn't weigh anything. And Michelle went in there properly kitted up. How long did it take you, Michelle?
Well, I brought a light backpack so that I wouldn't get bogged down with the weight. And I like to do interval running when I hike. So I'll listen to the music and it'll tell me to run or it'll tell me to slow down. And I do it for fun. So I'm just like going with my spirit. And I went in there. It took me about 4.5 hours. And then on the way out, I stayed 2 nights or 3 nights. I was out there for 3 days. And on my way out, you know, obviously I had eaten food and such, so my pack was lighter. I ran out, and it was something like 3 hours and 54 minutes or something like that. I really, like, pushed myself, but it was a lot of fun to do it. And on average, it could take people, you know, maybe 6 to 8 hours. Some people, they camp it in 2 days, but I wanted to run because it was fun, so... That's how I did it.
That's hardcore. That's super hardcore. It took me at least 12 hours, and I was really tired by the time I got out. Michelle ran through the thing in 3 hours. So, you know.
3 hours, 53 minutes. I got to add that on. It was my fastest time ever.
But that's
incredible.
Yeah,
it was the best experience.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I don't recommend anyone tries to just, like, straight off the bat come to Kauai and try and beat their record, like, without a little bit of practice first. It's very dangerous.
Yeah,
but,
no. I've been working up for years for that.
Yeah. So, you know, again, comes back down to the basics. Michelle's been out there, you know, running up and down mountains, getting very thick. and that helps her in her life very practically. You know, a lot of people don't do any of that stuff, don't get the benefit from it either. So these little things we're talking about, they're in a way obvious, but in another way, they're profound and completely change the game for you. So let's come back to money. And Michelle has got some fabulous tips for you. She mentioned the I Am Wealth program. There's a bunch of tips there. I'm not going to say anything. You can study that. You're getting it as part of superhero training. Michelle, what are your wonderful things that you found very helpful to share for sustaining cash money?
Well, of course, there are many tips that I could share that I've learned over the years, but the three that came to mind for today's call that I wanted to share, and some of them I learned from, you know, that woman that I mentioned earlier, Judy England. Others are from books I've read, like The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. That's another classic. I Am Wealth as well, as I mentioned. And the first thing is, whenever you get stressed about money, is to move your hips, especially women, move your hips in a figure eight position. Because what's really happening is we have three brains. I think it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's, because I know you know, Michael, the reptilian brain set, then there's the neocortex and the amygdala. And most of us are operating from the reptilian mindset, which is focused on like the lower chakras of, you know, power, money, sex, all the primal instincts. And what can happen with money is when we get stressed out, it can throw us back into that reptilian mindset, which when you drill down and drill down, eventually the fear behind all of that is that you're going to die, right? That somehow you're not going to be supported, you're going to starve, you're going to be homeless, and you're going to die. And so that's not going to happen. Even through all of the crazy money challenges, I've never not been supported. I've always had a, you know, good meal, place to stay, blah, 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 all that. So what you can do to get you out of that state is to move your hips. And that kind of shifts something in the brain where you're getting out of that fight or flight response and brings you back into the present moment to realize that everything's okay. It might not be ideally what you would like it to be, but you're going to be okay. And it brings your presence and your awareness back to the moment. So no matter where you're at, if your money situation is pretty good, but you know, you had some unexpected bill come in and you don't know how you're going to pay it, or if you're kind of like just making ends meet, whatever that is, shift your hips and dance around a little bit. And that'll shift your brain so that you're not operating from that primal mindset.
I just wanted to just mention, you know, doing exercises like what you just learned there, basically helps you to get out of this panic attack state. Because if you're in that fearful, oh my God, you can't think properly and you can't react in an appropriate way that's going to sort anything out. So it's very hard to break out of a problem if you're in a sort of totally stressed fight or flight mode. And you'll also get sick if you stay there too long. So these things are very, very, very important to get you in a state to be able to do other things that are necessary. So that's a great, great tip, Michelle. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So continuing on, my second tip is for you to become more intimate with your money. Now, what I mean by that is most people nowadays, they don't even touch, like make contact with money. They're using plastic credit cards. And so they don't really understand the real value of things. There's just a bunch of numbers on a screen and they're swiping cards. And so you're not really there with your money. What you can do is you can still have your plastic cards and all, but also take some money out, like physical money, and touch it and hold it and start to exchange for your goods and services with the money so that you can be connected to it and start to see where it's going and do that for a little bit so that, you know, at the end of the month, if you're just swiping this plastic card on a bunch of stuff and then you look at your bills and you're like, where did all my money go? The actually having physical connection to money can help you to see like, oh, I actually have a lot of it, more than I realized. And now I can see what I'm spending it on. And do I really want to spend it on that? Or do I want to, you know, invest it in something more like, you know, my education or, you know, getting some sort of help in an area that's going to help me grow, as opposed to, you know, getting a new outfit that night that you're only going to wear one time. Just being more mindful and intimate with your money.
Yes, great thing to kind of see what you're dealing with. And also, just to add to that, when you spend money, let's say you go to the store and buy some food, right, and you pay in cash, and you receive the bill was $150, let's say, and so you're like, okay, so you give the person $150 and get some change or whatever. When you've got your groceries, it's really important that you appreciate what you've bought as well, like the exchange. So here's the money. I got these pieces of paper and I gave it to this person, and then I got this food, or, you know, clothes or whatever you bought. And don't feel bad about it, because a lot of people, they go into shops and they buy stuff and they see the bill and they feel, oh my God, that's too much, and how could I spend so much money? And they feel bad vibes towards the stuff they have, which is like cursing the blessings. So you pay in cash, and then when you exchange it, give thanks for the stuff, you know. I mean, and because otherwise you don't see the value of what you've got. And it's just something I've learned over the years. So yeah, I really appreciate what Michelle was saying about the cash. You might like gold. I like gold coins personally. So carrying some of those around is not a bad idea either. But yeah, I love that, Michelle. Get intimate with your money. Know what you're spending. And if you've got a certain amount of money, like built cash, like $100 bills or whatever, and you only, you know, you can only spend a certain amount a month, let's say, you can see how many there are, because there's a pile got smaller, you know. So that's great. Yeah, bring consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What was
yeah.
your third thing?
And also, too,
yeah.
Well,
yeah. Right,
you sparked one more thing that I wanted to add to
yeah.
that I think would be helpful for people, is to also track your money. So if people are having money problems, they usually tend to, like, ignore it or be in denial. And it's helpful if you actually know what's in your bank account, where it's going, what bills you have to pay. That brings a sense of responsibility and awareness, and that actually will create the foundation, more money to come in. Because I know I used to have this mindset where it's like, oh, well, you know, I only have this certain amount of money, but if I buy this, then – you know, more's not going to come in. And that's like a lack mentality. Money is meant to circulate and flow and change. So if you're hoarding it, you're setting yourself up for lack. So it needs to be flowing and circulation. So bless your bills. Be grateful, like Michael said, you know, be grateful that you're paying them on time, that you can pay them easily and effortlessly, really give thanks. So that's all I wanted to say around point number two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very important, because if you don't value the things that you get, then something's definitely not right there. I mean, what's the point in buying things at all if you don't need them or if you don't appreciate them? It really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because then you're just leaking energy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've often, I'll tell you something, just a quick story around this. I've often talked to people about their money problems in one way or another. And one thing I ask people to do who don't feel or seem to believe they don't have money is I say to them, tell me exactly what you're spending your money on at the moment, each month. Like, if you write, give me a detailed list, accurate detailed list of where your money's going. And I normally look at these lists people come up with, and they're spending tons of money on craziest stuff every month. And I'm like, what do you mean you haven't got any money? You're just like, you're spending loads of money all the time on the, and so this idea I don't have money a lot of the time is like a sort of obscure, strange, like psychological, psycho-spiritual delusion going on by not looking at what you're doing practically, you know. So I just wanted to underscore what Michelle was talking about write it down, you know, like know what you're doing with your money. How much are you spending? Where is it going to? And do you even appreciate the things you're buying? And you can save a lot of money, by the way. If you look at all of your bills and all your expenses in great detail, you can look at them and go, I don't really need that subscription. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't know why I'm buying that thing. And then you have all this extra cash because you stop wasting it. So it's a great, great, great tip there. Thank you, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on to the last tip here is money loves organization and cleanliness. So what I mean by that is if you ever go to a wealthy person's home, you will notice more than likely that their home is immaculate. It's very clean. And people that tend to be struggling with money, their house and, you know, their wallet, their car, all that sort of stuff seems to be in disarray. So money likes to be organized in the sense that if you have a purse or a wallet, you know, the cards are in there, they're neatly kept, you don't have, you know, all this junk in it. Everything has its place, and including your home. You have a clean home, it's orderly, you know, the items all have a place, and if they don't, you donate them, you sell them. You get rid of them because money likes to be organized. And if you're living in a messy home or car, that is also a reflection of your mindset. You could take three adjectives right now if you look in your current living space and describe what that looks like. And that is a reflection of what's going on in your mind. So if your house is, you know, cluttered, dingy, scattered, that's what's going on with you. But if it's, you know, shiny, spotless, clean, you know, those are the kind of things that are going on in your mindset. So the more you start to treat that money with respect, like you're not just throwing your wallet on a table, you're not putting your purse on the ground, you're putting your purse on the chair, you know, treating it with respect, keeping it clean, keeping it organized, all of those things matter. You know, inanimate objects, they need love, they need organization too, and that reflects to the energy and your ability to be able to call in more of that into your life. So just start with your living space. Again, you know, trick yourself, 10 minutes, I'm just going to clean this part, put some good music on. Usually after the 10 minutes, you feel so good that you move past the inertia. You want to keep going. And then next thing you know, you've taken care of one room. Or you could just hire somebody. You know, you could hire some cleaners. You could think of it like that. Like, okay, if I hired somebody and I paid them like $100 to clean my house or whatever, what would that $100 do for me? Oh, well, it would allow me to do like more massages, which I'd make like double the amount of money. Or, you know what I mean? You start to think in that mindset too and get out of thinking, if you're spending money, you're losing money, because sometimes it's good to outsource things if it's not what you enjoy. But basic things like your wallet and your purse, you know, those are the things you need to organize and keep clean and orderly.
Yeah, that's a critical thing. And yeah, the, you know, the values, excuse me, the value of the clean, if you can't take care of your house, then how are you going to take care of your cash? You know, it's how you do one thing is how you do everything. I really believe that's true because I've witnessed it. And I've had people clean my house many, many times, and it's great to come home and just be like, it's just nice. But also, if you put a timer on, like Michelle was talking about, like one of the easiest ways to clean your own house is get your phone or whatever, get a timer and press the button to for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever. Loud music, cup of coffee, I think it's not a bad idea. And just cranking out hardcore. And you'll be amazed what you can achieve in 20 minutes or 10 minutes. And you probably want to go a bit longer, you know. But because it's on a timer, I don't know, for me anyway, whenever I'm on a timer of some sort, I'm like, feel like it's a game. I'm like, ooh, see how quick I can do something. And it's kind of fun. And it doesn't feel like a chore anymore. It seems more like a play, you know, it turns into fun. And, so it's a great thing. And just by the way, about cleaning your house, one thing that most people really appreciate when they come back and someone's cleaned their house, the thing that they notice is the sparkling metals specifically. Like the sink is sparkling, the bathroom faucets, you know, the taps sparkling. And it only takes about 2 minutes or 3 minutes or something to clean all your taps. You know, maybe 5 minutes, depending on how many taps you have. You just spray a bunch of stuff on them, wait, and then just give them a good scrub, and they start to sparkle. And that 5 minutes makes your whole house seem wealthier. Just by cleaning your taps. So this might sound sort of a bit odd, but if your house is clean and your taps are sparkling, you're probably going to be more rich fairly soon because you're in the mindset of wealth rather than like just filth everywhere, which is bad vibes, really. So great tip, Michelle. I really appreciate that. Yeah, and along with organizing your money into your house, you might want to track your expenses in an Excel format or have someone help you, so you actually know what in the good Lord's name is going on with your money. Because something that rich people do that poor people don't do is they look at their money, they look at their numbers, and they plan their money. Poor people overall just have no idea what's going on and just waste it all on silly things and don't have any. So if you just look at it more often and you know, give it some consideration, it's a very, very, very good thing. And Michelle's a great example of this. Michelle's very organized. Michelle lived with me for a while and I just remember her. She was always very organized. I think I might have been a bit too messy compared to Michelle.
I am very organized.
I remember Michelle's car is very organized as well, you know, so you can kind of tell an organized person, you know, it really does make a difference. It's hard to think properly and get anything done if everything's a mess. So that's great.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. It's awesome. So we could go on and on, but we're going to close it there, unless you have anything else you want to share, Michelle, about these tips.
There's lots of other tips that I could share, but I think those are kind of the groundwork to set you up for greater wealth. And, of course, at that point, you can hire experts and such to help you. But, I think that's enough to get you going today. So I don't really have anything else to share around that. What else would you like me to share before we close out?
Yeah, so just why don't you tell people listening what you're up to these days and how they can find you for other things that you're doing. So if you want to find out what Michelle's doing, find out more, tell us more about it.
Okay, so I touched on it in the beginning of the call. I'm a multi-passionate, creative, visionary type, very, very similar like Michael, as we like to create all these different projects and be involved artistically and such, and really be of service and things that are aligned with our hearts. So what I'm working on currently is obviously being a part of the superhero training. It's like extended family. It's, you know, completely changed my life. That's why I'm still a part of it nowadays. So I love, supporting and helping others through that. And then I've also got the project around, raising consciousness and then, giving back to the coral reefs to preserve them. And I do some mentoring here and there with people that are really ready to overcome all excuses. They're ready to do the work. and just step up and do what it takes to create the kind of life that they desire. And I'm also working on the pioneering aspect of my business, which is teaching others how to be the pioneer in their life and take their work and really bring it to a larger platform by way of technology. So kind of merging the natural world with, you know, this other virtual world and bringing that wisdom to a greater audience that's really looking for it. Because, you know, even before I came into the superhero training, which was about 5 years ago, I didn't really know. Like, I knew that these people were out there, the people that are now, you know, my colleagues and my friends, which is crazy. It's like, I can't even believe it. I knew these people existed, but I'm like, where are they? I have to find them. And so anyway, by applying all these tips and surrounding myself with the right people, now I'm actually helping to support those people that I looked up to and admired through different means. So if you'd like to learn more about the work and see, you know, if there's something that applies to you or if I can help support you with your body of work and getting it to a larger platform, you can send me an email. It's Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at michellepearson.net. My last name is Pierson.net, or you can just go to my website. I'm currently revamping it, so it might look a little bit different if you're listening to this audio at a later time, and that's Michelle with two L's, Pearson, Pierson.net. Oh, you know, too, one more. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm very active on there, too, and you can just go to facebook.com/MichellePearson, and you can friend me on there. That's a great platform as well. So any of those three ways you can contact me.
Awesome. So there we go. Michelle does lots of cool stuff, and I'm sure some of you would benefit from connecting with Michelle. And yeah, she's definitely far more active on Facebook than a lot of us. We're a little bit stressed on the old Facebook front. But, you know, it's all good. So thank you, Michelle. This has been a pleasure. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge you, Michelle, for, you know, the wonders that you've created. And like everyone listening knows, you know, this huge journey here. And so I just want everyone to really, on a deeper level, to understand what wonders are possible for you if you're just willing to get on with it, you know, like Michelle has, rather than just thinking about stuff. So hopefully this has been an inspiring hour of your time. Re-listen to this again. I recommend probably once or twice to really understand what we're talking about in more detail. Last thoughts, Michelle? What are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts, you know, I just want to express gratitude and appreciation for being a part of this team. You know, you and Nick and David, all from, you know, they created it, and you coming on, and everyone involved, and Taylor, and all the superheroes. It's been so amazing to interact with you and get to know you, and some of you I've befriended, some of you I've gone on to work with, and it's just been an amazing ride. And that all happened because I made a powerful decision to say, I will do whatever it takes. I eliminated the word can't from my vocabulary, and I made a powerful commitment to do whatever it took to create the life that I desired. Not want, because want implies lack, but desired. And I felt it in my heart with a burning passion that when I left this planet, I wanted to leave behind a legacy. And whatever your calling is, all it takes is one powerful decision to commit to yourself, to surround yourself with the right people, and to do whatever it takes. And if you do that, you are living in natural magic.
Breathe that in. That's powerful. Thank you, Michelle. Absolutely. So go on and do great things. Great things, great things, inspiring things, starting with the little things. So we'll be talking again. Enjoy, and lots of love.